part-time soulmates, full-time problem. Written by Safely Capricious and read by K-Burb. This is a DC Marvel crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Roy slash Natasha slash Jason, as well as Clint and Nat, Clint and Roy, and Clint and Jason.
When you ask how I've been, I know you mean well, I know you mean well. Who am I dialing tonight? That's a bummer. Throw out my freezer, burn feelings for 20 summers. I'm drinking gel that comes through the night sky, screaming at the stars like night lights in all my life.
Natasha corrects Jason's position, again, and Roy watches, tools held loosely in his hands, because, well, can I go on record that this is a bad idea? Clint voices from the other side of the table where he's working on some arrows. You can go on record for being jealous, Roy returns, eyes not moving away from the sight of Natasha and Jason, both in clinging lycra, practicing flips against a very sturdy dummy. I'm not jealous, Clint corrects. I'm terrified. Jason, with Natasha's corrections, manages to swing himself up and over, so he's hitting the dummy's throat with his thighs, and the dummy, bolted down with 2-inch-thick solid steel, sways dangerously. Roy, the one who installed the dummy, is well aware of what weight class they can take, and the fact that Jason's momentum was enough to cause it to sway is, well, it's something. Roy hums, okay. Well, I'm jealous then. He can see that Clint is staring at him, out of the corner of his eye, and he's pretty sure the look is incredulous, but he's not quite willing to turn away from Jason twisting away from the dummy, and Natasha leaning close and offering advice to look. Of who? Clint asks. The dummy? Roy replies. Oh, yeah, no, okay. I'm out of here, Clint says, and starts to pack up his stuff with enough haste that Natasha and Jason stop to watch. What's up? Natasha says, wandering over, Jason half a step behind her. Y'all are... Nope, I'm out of here, Clint repeats, shoving the last of his things haphazardly into his bag, spinning to go, just in time for Natasha to reach out a casual hand and snag the collar of his shirt and bring him to an abrupt and choking halt. Explain yourself, Barton, she says as he's forced back into his seat by the desire to keep breathing. Y'all are about to start being horny, and I do not need to be exposed to that more than I already am, he says, rubbing at his neck now that Natasha's released him. Wow, rude, Jason says, hand over his heart like he's a shrinking maiden. Roy's eyes trail down to the lycra leggings he's still wearing, and, okay, Clint might have a point. Is that because you're having trouble with... Natasha starts, only for Clint to spring up and cover her mouth with a palm. She allows it with only an arched eyebrow that's so judgy that Roy feels a little bad for Clint for receiving it. We're not talking about them. There is nothing happening. It's fine, Clint says, high-pitched in his panic. Oh, but you want something to be happening, Jason says, grabbing the water that Roy has at his elbow and drinking it like he's in a commercial that's trying to sell water. Sex sells. Clint narrows his eyes at Jason and then yelps and pulls his hand back from Natasha's mouth. Fuck you. Holy shit, I think I'm bleeding, he says. You're fine, Natasha says, dismissively, settling down at the table and poking at the incendiary device that Roy has been working on. You big baby. We could really wound you, Roy offers, casually, trying to make sure that Natasha isn't actually going to set off the unfinished device, and give your booze something to coo over. Clint narrows his eyes at him and pokes his shoulder. You don't know who it is, right? Nat, did you tell them? Of course she didn't tell us, Roy says, at the exact same instant Jason is saying, of course we know who they are. Natasha smiles and picks up a screwdriver to secure the port on the device. "You're kind of obvious," Jason continues with a shrug. "No offense." "I am not. Offense very much taken," Clint says, but he doesn't look offended, just embarrassed. Which is silly, because everyone in this room hasn't had an ill-advised crusher eight. Well, maybe not Natasha. Even if their crush started off ill-advised, it would become well-advised out of fear, probably. "I think they like you too," Roy offers, before diving in and stealing the device that Natasha is messing with because, yeah, no. He does not want to die today, and he's not convinced it's wired securely, and she winks at him once he's got it cradled protectively, and he tries to glower but can't when she follows it up with a blown kiss. "Menace," he says, and she laughs. Clint just pouts, looking back and forth between them. "I just want what y'all have," he says, and he's clearly saying it as a joke, but it's got the hint of truth to it. "Five favors," Jason says. "What?" Clint blinks at him as he looms over the table. "Fine," Jason says, rolling his eyes and his head, habit from rolling his eyes behind the helmet and wanting to make sure everyone knows he's doing it. "Six favors, and I buy you a coffee, and they're all yours." "Wow," Roy says, clutching his heart and the incendiary device that's in his hand. "That hurts, Jaybird." "Seven favors and a coffee, and that's my final offer," Jason says, just in time for Natasha to spring up over the table and wrap her body around his head and for him to flail and for both of them to hit the mats and start to grapple. Clint blinks, then clocks the look that's taken over Roy's face again as he looks at what might as well be foreplay and says, "Yeah, okay, I'm leaving. Please sanitize everything once you're done." Roy waves a hand in agreement. He's built a bot for the sanitizing, just to be efficient, and also because no one likes to leave DNA evidence at the crime scene, but doesn't remove his eyes from where it looks like Natasha has managed to get Jason's shirt off. Vaguely, he's aware of the sound of the door closing behind Clint. The end.